Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to All Things WordPress and WooCommerce, a Do the Woo podcast show. This show is brought to you by OmniSend, the solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own website. And Hostinger, whether you're building a WordPress site or specifically a Woo store, their infrastructure brings your client site speed, uptime, and security. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but let's drop in on the second episode where we focus on accessibility via the All Things WordPress and WooCommerce show. Hosts Anne and Taka give you a continuation of what you can expect in this series, as well as talking a little bit about the upcoming European Accessibility Act, accessibility research, and they touch on overlays, plus encouraging listeners to send in their questions. So let's get right into it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second edition of the Do the Woo Accessibility Podcast. My name is Annemieke Bovelet, but most people call me Anne. It's just easier to remember. And I'm an accessibility specialist and a WordPress coach for sustainably optimizing agency processes, keynote speaker, and I'm an avid member of the WordPress community. I'm also a WordCamp Europe organizer, and as such, I'm sponsored by Grade, and they are also sponsoring me for Fire for the Future and to do this podcast. So I want to say thank you in advance. This is absolutely wonderful, and I'm very, very proud to be here together with my co-host, Taka.
Thanks, Annemieke. So yeah, my name is Taka Reijenga, and I'm the founder and CEO of Level Level, a full-service WordPress agency, and I'm the founder of the Any Collective, or the Accessibility Collective, which is an e-learning platform focused on web accessibility education. I'm a big accessibility advocate, and I'm in the fortunate position to be able to sponsor or dedicate my time here through my company.
Wow, Taka, with a big agency like yours, you're already running that one for 18 years. Of course, you have to be aware of what you do with your resources, and sponsoring your own time to do this is sponsoring, period.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, wonderful.
And it's an important topic to talk about. So I also find it really important that we talk about web accessibility a lot more. And I think this podcast is a perfect platform for that.
Yeah, definitely is. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to spread the message, but also I think a good opportunity for people in the future to come on to our podcast and to speak about this topic, and especially about demystifying accessibility in e-commerce. Of course, we're in Do the Woo, WooCommerce, e-commerce, but it would be e-commerce in general. So, I was going to ask you loads of questions the first time we recorded, and then you suddenly became a co-host, which I absolutely think is wonderful that you accepted that. And I was going to ask you loads of questions about accessibility and e-commerce and the research that your company conducted. So what about we try to finish that conversation today?
Yeah, or start it properly. It was kind of a surprise, our last recording, the first episode, where I was quickly promoted to co-host, which is absolutely exciting. But that also resulted in a bit of a messy edition or first edition. So let's try to get that straight and continue that conversation. On the web shops and the research we did, you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, I know you researched some really large web shops, and I was curious to know why you did conduct that research in the first place. And you already started doing that 3 years ago. This is the third time you did it. So yeah, I'd love to hear what motivated you to do this or others to ask you to do it. I don't know the background of it. So,
all right. So for listeners that are not aware, on the 28th of June, 2025, the European Accessibility Act comes into effect. And this is a basically a law a European law, which makes digital accessibility for e-commerce services, and web shops are part of that, of course, makes that a legal obligation. And that's not without a reason. In Europe, about 27% of the population has a disability. In the Netherlands, where I'm from, that's even 32%. And if you realize that online shopping, that it provides such a solution, basically, for people with a disability, for people for whom physical shopping is not always possible, then you see this kind of, you know, this gap, this mismatch, that we see that online shopping is not always an option where it could solve so many issues. So many, many web shops, insufficient or no consideration has been given to web accessibility. And of course, for years now, we know that this law is coming into effect in 2025. And we figured it would be really interesting to take a look at the state of the web, and then specifically the largest web shops of the Netherlands. So we had to kind of pinpoint us, make it specific, this research. And we used the Twinkle, which is a magazine about the e-commerce in the Netherlands. And every year they publish a list of the 100 largest web shops, basically by turnover, by profit that they make. And we used their initially top 10, but it became a top 15 of the largest web shops to research. And we did that for 3 years now. Yeah.
All right. So now I'm going to segue into another question quickly, because in the last couple of months, I've been talking to a lot of big web agencies and in countries outside of the Netherlands and outside of Germany. And they are all caught by surprise when I'm telling them that this law is coming into effect next year. They're like, why didn't I hear about this? This is worrisome, and this is one of the topics I think we're going to grab up in the next shows, in the next episodes, I think. So I wanted to put a pin into that so that you all know that we're going to talk about this at some point. But I would really like to know if you can tell me more about the research itself and the results. How did you go about that?
So what we did is, as I just said, we took the 15 largest Dutch web shops, and research was done following a script for all web shops. So we had a script to follow to make sure that this, you know, it's a proper and a valid research. And it was done by hand. There's only so much that you can automate or use scripts for. A lot of accessibility testing is done by hand because you need a human to judge on a certain situation or on a certain interface, you know, how understandable it is or how easy to use it is, for example. Our main finding was that 8 out of 15 web shops in the latest edition, 8 out of 15, it's impossible for people with a motor or visual impairment to place an order without using a mouse. So for the third year in a row, more than half of the largest web shops are inaccessible to people with disabilities. And that's kind of shocking, because we're not talking about, you know, a mom and pop shop, or you know, the florist or the cheese shop around the corner. We're talking about companies like IKEA. We're talking about companies like Amazon, and then we looked at the Dutch Amazon website. We're talking about these kind of names. These are big names. They have a lot of money, and their web shops are in this top 100 list. For a reason, and that's because they're making shitloads of money. And that makes it even more painful to see that that money is going somewhere and that money is being made, good for them. But while doing so, they're not paying attention to a huge group of people that would benefit a more accessible website or experience.
I can tell you by experience that that is troublesome because I navigate the web by keyboard only a lot of times due to a problem that I have with my arm that comes back every now and then. And then during 3 or 4 weeks, I'm not buying anywhere. it's not working.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned it. There's research that has been done. I believe it's from the Clickaway Pound survey that actually tells us, like, you know, people that need another way of using the web than using the mouse, just navigating by keyboard or other forms of assistive technology. When they encounter a website that is not working for them, they just leave. You know, that's it. They just leave.
And I don't come back.
And they're probably not coming back. And it's funny to hear that from you as well. Why would you? If you had a horrible experience in the first place, why would you go back a second or a third or a fourth time to give them another chance or to see if anything improved?
Yeah, and there's another thing that suddenly dawns on me, like those sites that you research, like Amazon, but I know now, did you research bol.com?
Yeah, which is a large Dutch webshop, yeah.
Is actually, I wonder if the people who are, or the companies who are using them as a channel to sell their stuff, how aware they are of this fact that the accessibility needs improvement.
Well, we didn't research that. I can't tell you that for sure, but I'm pretty sure that either people don't really care, or not even aware. So I think that awareness, you know, if you're aware of other ways that people are using the web, why they do so, what that means for them, then you start to care. So maybe it's more awareness that's a problem than that you don't care about your neighbor that uses the web in a different way.
But I think it's also cared about whether their wallet is hit by this, because it's love that makes small changes and it's capitalism that makes big changes. And actually, knowing the numbers, like this case from 20 years ago at Tesco that invested £35,000 in a web shop to make it more accessible, and it gave them 13 million annual extra additional turnover. I wonder, I mean, if I would be someone selling my products on one of these websites, and I would know, like, hey, they're not doing everything they can for me to sell my product, but they are taking a percentage of my sales, I don't know, I'd probably try and talk to them about it.
Well, that is something that we refer to as the business case, basically. You know, there's one thing that's awareness, like, hey, this audience of people that use the web in a different way, whether it's permanently disabled or there is a temporary impairment or situational impairment, you know, who are we talking about? How are they using the web? How large is this group? What might they have ready to spend in your web shop? I think when you start talking about the business case, what it could mean for your web shop, you know, in extra revenue, or what it could mean for your web shop in extra, in a sort of a positive exposure, or on the contrary, the negative exposure when, you know, you get sued somehow, or you hit the news because, you know, the airline Vueling recently in Spain got a huge fine. Well, it's all over the news that they got this huge fine. They can't rely on any government support for the next half year or something like that until they have their shit fixed. That is, you know, that is quite a negative image, you know, for your brand. That's quite has quite an impact on on the image.
It is, yeah.
So it's so much more than making more money. It's also about saving costs by, you know, making sure that people can navigate your website and they don't need your help or they don't need your call center, whatever. It's about avoiding the risk of or to mitigate the risk of fines and lawsuits and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, it's you know, ethically speaking, it's the best thing to do also.
Absolutely. I mean, you and I, we're both in this for the ethics. That's where it started. It's just not that.
Well, and let's face it. Let's be honest about it. There is also an economic side of it. I mean, I run a business. But if you start thinking about it, how this all started, when you start realizing that there's a group of people that you exclude by not thinking about their experience, I would say the start of this all is, you know, is ethics. It's about like, hey, why would we exclude a group of people and kind of avoid them from entering or using our website? And of course, you know, then you start investigating the topic and the whole team aligns and the whole team is saying, yeah, we want to be better in this. And this should not be an option in our proposals. This is just what we do. We need to build better projects, which is totally in line, if you ask me, with the whole idea of open source software that we like using, an open web that is available to anyone. How could you then exclude, roughly saying, 25% of disabled users? I was in a webinar last week, together with another agency from Rotterdam, talking about accessibility in fintech. And then one of the questions from the audience was, well, I'm pretty sure that we don't have a disabled audience. We were talking about why this is important.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, I don't see people struggling with our website. So, you know, why is this such an issue? Why is there laws coming? And the sort of the comparison I've made and that has been made before is if you run a restaurant on the seventh floor and there's no elevator and there's no way to enter that seventh floor other than walking the stairs, you will never see someone in a wheelchair in your restaurant. So you could say, hey, I don't have people in a wheelchair visiting my restaurant. That's the same with a website. If it's just horrible to use, or, you know, in the first seconds of using it or entering it, it turns out to be impossible to use, or you can't even get rid of the cookie banner or something like that. Would you, as a website owner, know that this person visited your website? Google Analytics is not going to show you anything. You know, that's just a bounce. And
I switched banks in Germany exactly because of that, because the in the Netherlands, we are spoiled. I can tell you, you live abroad now, so you probably experienced that yourself, but in the Netherlands, we are generally spoiled with like five or six big banks, and you can put your card in the ATM everywhere without paying the main price for everything. But in Germany, they have as many banks as they have pharmacies, which is a lot. And each of these banks are working on their own, it feels. And I had exactly that problem. The website of the bank I was using was a nightmare. And I'm not even talking about keyboard accessibility. I didn't even go there. It was just unusable in so many other ways. It was unclear. It was hard to navigate. It was hard to read. And for a bank, wow. I mean, everybody needs a bank.
We do see a lot of, especially with the Ally Collective, the e-learning platform, we do see a lot of attention from the fintech sector at this moment. We see a lot of banks training their teams with us, more than e-commerce teams or, you know, development teams at e-commerce companies or agencies working for e-commerce projects. And I guess that has to do that banks are used to deal with, you know, litigation, laws, etc., a lot more. So they need to, you know, be on spot, you know, when it comes to the law, and there's just no other way around it. So they're probably a bit more aware now. But what you're sketching that situation, you still need a bank, and you still need your groceries, and you still want to order some clothes once in a while, maybe, or you know, it became such a vital part of our lives, the ability to just order something online, not having to leave your home, and that, you know, for some that's because you don't like shopping and this is convenient. For others, it's essential to be able to order from home and have it delivered to your door.
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org. As a builder or an agency managing multiple sites, check out Hostinger.com. Their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. Also, at your fingertips, you'll find a powerful suite of tools for security and performance, code and content management. Now add to that the ability to manage your WordPress website through WP CLI for control configuration and plugin updates, enhanced WordPress acceleration powered by Lightspeed Enterprise, control over auto updates, free migrations, and of course, the essential staging sites. Through all of their services and features comes e-commerce optimization for your clients' Woo shops. So when you think about it, overall, everything you need to keep your client sites running smooth can be found with their agency hosting at Hostinger.com.
I suddenly think of another question that I didn't even have on my list, because there are, like, fintech is waking up now. Okay, that's really good. I notice a lot of sectors who are not waking up. It was surprising for me to talk to a very experienced web host that I've known since 2003. I was his third customer. Now he's really big. And he said to me, "I only hear about this stuff from you. I didn't hear this from the organization that we are all a member of. Why do I only hear this from you?" And I said, "It's strange, because you are affected by it, as you don't know if you're selling to consumers. If someone gets an email only account with you, chances are this is a private person." And do you notice an increase of requests that you get, or are you even in this position where you're like, "Oh my, I don't know how we're going to deal with all these requests"?
Well, I don't like to panic too fast, but we do see quite an increase, both on the agency side, like companies. We do training and we do consultancy and, you know, audits and stuff like that as well. So we do see an increase in awareness in general. At the Ally Collective, the e-learning platform, we see, you know, in amounts of signups, people purchasing our courses. So it is on the rise, but we're kind of late. You know, we basically have 1 year to get our stuff fixed.
In the Netherlands, it's everywhere. It's like that everywhere in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw that before in Europe with when the GDPR was enforced. You know, the moment that GDPR was going to be by law, you know, the official date that it was going to be also, you know, checked by some authority, depending on the country that you're in, suddenly, like a month or 2 months before, you saw like everybody like rushing, trying to get their agencies to create cookie walls, cookie banners. We worked for a couple of publishers. Some of their first reactions were to basically block you completely if you didn't agree with a cookie or a cookie or two.
Better safe than sorry.
Sort of better safe than sorry. Yeah. So there was like this big concrete wall in front of you if you didn't, if you didn't accept cookies. And I kind of foresee the same situation where, you know, last minute, everybody is suddenly aware, hey, this is a law. Maybe there's fines attached to it or other ways of enforcing it. That's going to look bad. It's going to cost me money or, you know, it's going to have an impact on my business. And then, you know, we're just going to panic and we're going to run. And, you know, all the agencies that know a bit about web accessibility are completely booked as they are right now. So there's no way that you get some proper work done. The risk is that we get a lot of cowboys just doing something what they think is right. And that might not be the best. And that might not be the best in the long run.
We got an infestation of overlay vendors.
Yeah, the so-called, we know what, can you explain what an overlay is? Or
I'll gladly explain that. Overlay vendors are, they're plugins that actually promise install us on your website. And then you can install us with one click and then your site is instantly accessible. And if I should use an analogy, it's actually anybody installing that is trying to do the right thing, right? Like, oh, this is nice. Now everybody can use my website. And without realizing it, people are installing another steering wheel and four extra wheels in a car that go in the right direction and four that go in the other direction. And then the car starts spinning for anyone who really depends on assistive technology. There have been lots of cases. There's lots of stuff about this on YouTube where people with assistive technology are actually navigating sites with these overlays, these well-intended overlays, where they are completely locked out of the stuff that they need or want to do. And so that's happening on a technical scale. And if you use your common sense, you can only find about 30 to 35% of accessibility issues with an automated test. You could, of course, try to resolve things if you know, hey, this is the stuff we're going to find. This is the stuff we're going to try to resolve. But you're trying to resolve human error, and human error is erratic. So there is no consistent pattern to that. And this is one of the reasons if you use your logic, why this would never work. And I know there's a lot of anger towards accessibility plugins, these overlay plugins, I should say, especially from the accessibility community, like, oh, they're bad and they're mean. And I don't really want to go there. What I think is important is that people do proper research for themselves and realize that installing an overlay plugin like that is not an end solution. And if an overlay plugin promises you to make your site accessible, run for it, baby, run. It's the best bottle of digital snake oil in the world after cryptocurrency.
If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. There's probably something going on.
Yeah, the duck that's not a duck. It quacked like a duck, but it wasn't.
I think without naming any of the overlay tools that we're referring to, we can maybe we can put in the show notes the overlay fact sheet, which is a website that kind of lists them all. Which is signed by dozens of accessibility specialists, why we all don't support these solutions. And that will help you do some research and see why they are not the real solution. They're not all as bad. You know, there's different levels of bad, and some are actually doing an okay job, or they offer more than this overlay tool or plugin. But yeah, do dig into that, because it's not the solution. But you're going to be tempted, you know, when time is running out. Because yeah, one line of code and you know, I'm ready, right?
Yeah, you're going to pay $50 a month for nothing. Especially.
Yeah. And I always wonder what happens if I stop paying that $50 or my credit card sales 1 month, or I'm maxed out or whatever. What happens to my website?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and one of the things I think the audience needs to know is we like to come from yes, not from no. We don't like to come from scaring you or making everybody sick with worry. And of course, an overlay plugin is one of the scarier topics in this case. But what I wanted to segue into is what we are going to talk about in our show in the next episodes. And one of the goals is, apart from speaking about what you can do within a web shop or experiences from developers who are still learning or who already know how to do it and tell us how they approach it. It's also about you learning that it's progress over perfection. So right now we're living in May. It is 13 months plus 28 days. I can't calculate for the life of me, so sorry for that. But let's say it's about a year. And within a year, there's a lot you can do. You can do step by step. You can start at one point. You don't have to do it all in 1 week.
But that is sort of the main topic that we'll go through, or that is kind of woven into the episodes that we're planning. There is so much that you can do, and progress over perfection. Also know that there is no 100% accessibility. There's always work to do. And what I think, you know, when looking forward to other episodes, we are talking a lot now, but I think it would be really interesting to make sure that we have an interesting guest every show that can tell us a little bit more about their experience or their field. And I would really like to ask our audience, the listener, you, to, you know, ask us questions. Do you have a website and you're struggling to, you know, where to start? Send it over to us. Maybe we can help you, give you some tips on, you know, what are the most problematic issues that you can kind of grab and work on tomorrow or the same day. What we see a lot is that it's always the same sort of errors over and over throughout the website, about contrast or the way forms work. And those are usually manageable. You can fix them. And, you know, there's always this 20% where you maybe need help or a developer or whatever, but you can do so much already by just starting and learning a bit about the topic. So send us your questions. If you have a website or a web shop that you would like us to take a look at, promise we're not going to roast it. We come from positive. We're going to also point out the positive things about it, and we're going to give you tips and tricks how to deal with that. I think that makes the show a bit more valuable than just us talking, if we kind of have the interaction with the listener and with you, to make sure that we're actually addressing stuff that you find important as well, and not us. You know, we're so heavily invested in the topic already that I think it's really up to us to guide you through this landscape, which is also, you know, difficult. There's a lot of difficult wording that you never saw before, stuff about laws and lawsuits and whatnot. So yeah. Use the comment function or you know, through the show notes and some links. You can ping us directly on LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, definitely DM, just talk to us. And I can let you know that this is a unique opportunity. They're normally getting advice the way we give it is not so cheap to obtain. And we're just here for you, and we're just going to do it. And there are a few other podcasts that I would like to co-promote with us, because accessibility has to go all around the world. So there's another one called Accessibility Crafts from Equalized Digital, from Amber Hens, Christopher Hens, and Steve Jones, that regularly have very interesting topics. And I'm actually going to ask either of them to come as a guest on our show to speak about their topic. And I also think it's a good idea, Taka, if we invite real life users, and then people who you would never expect to speak on a podcast like this. For some, it may be a bit scary, but I've already talked to some who are really interested in coming on, and they're like, well, if it's just audio, I'm fine. So, yeah, I think we should do that. And I think we may also consider guests that are actually working with accessibility from the ground up, only since a very short time. Now that it came up, where do they find their info? How do they learn?
I have some suggestions, but I think it's good to hear this from the audience as well, and from people that are working their way through the field. Yeah,
it's interesting, because the we may know a lot about accessibility, but that's also a problem, because there are some things we take for granted, and it's incredibly interesting to hear from others who think about other things, who do not take things for granted, or who just a tiny example, for example, is when you speak of guidelines. I asked one of the developers I work with, can you make my menu more than guideline accessible? Let me put it that way. It's maybe not the right term, but most people will understand. Because it's not just about accessibility, it's about usability as well. It goes hand in hand. And a website that is fully accessible can be totally unusable. You remember this article from Manuel Matuzovic, how to create a 100% inaccessible website with a 100% accessibility score in Lighthouse. And that, when I read that, it opened my eyes to the technical side of accessibility like nothing ever did before. And this is the kind of thing I would like for us to share in this podcast, because I had never looked at it that way. So, yeah, I think we can conclude this episode for now. And it was really fun talking with you again and having you as my co-host. And next episode, we are going to announce the, how do you say that in English? The categories that we're going to have, the topics, because we think it's a lot of fun to have this setup where, you know, okay, around this time, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a popular blog, or we're going to talk about resource of the month or something like that. So we're still working on that. And if you have any suggestions, if you're like, hey, I really love to hear you talk about this or this or this, like every month, let us know.
Let us know. Hey, it was a pleasure talking with you again. As always.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next one where we can hopefully address a couple of issues or questions from the audience. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun. So looking forward already. See ya.
Hey, Bob WP here, and I'd like to thank Omnisend.com and hostinger.com for their support. please consider checking them out. And thanks again for tuning into all things WordPress and WooCommerce. If you're not subscribed, just head over to dothewoo.io/subscribe or find us on your favorite pod player. And remember, you can subscribe to any of our shows directly or hear them all on our Do The Woo full channel feed. Until the next time.